meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, and welcome to GIF. Thank God it is Friday.
Yay.
Yay.
Friday the 13th.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
The anniversary.
St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool age 3 and 4.
So I can always button in.
He's always button in. That's just the taste.
That's the
demonic. Yeah. Because I'm going to speak about the...
Not that arm.
No, not, we're not, not saying
no,
arm.
No, 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 no. And not L-U.
No, right. No.
It's just...
It's the way things happen.
You know what? Going to be... I got to speak my mind. You know, that's why, God, I'm going to...
It's one of those days.
Save me from myself, you know. No, because there's so much going on in the world. I mean, the world's on fire, and, they're calling for international jihad today, and people have told me that the stuff that's on the TikTok and all that is just absolutely horrendous, putting fuel in the fire.
Yeah.
And, with the synod and synodality and some of the stuff I'm reading there, and the Pope meets with Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi-doo.
That's a big thing in the news today.
Wow.
I mean, really, please, what is happening? It just feels like everything is
upside down.
And, those, anyway, I'll do respect. I mean, if there was a certain balance in all this, I don't mind, but people who are asking for clarification, people who are defending the faith, are seemingly, if you're not really toting the party line and advocating for some kind of they were talking about witchcraft and what's the word for it? I was just reading some of the discussions, and again, I don't want to take anything out of context, but the fact that we're even addressing, or they're addressing, I should say, because like I told the New York Times, who's going to reform the church? It's going to be the Anawim, the little flock, those who are on their knees in the name of Jesus, open to the supernatural, the mysticism of the church, God, and especially, on this day, the 13th of October, as we recall the miracle of the sun, that was supernatural. That was mysticism. That was a miracle. And 70,000 people witnessed that, But if we had heeded the call of Our Lady, to pray the rosary daily for conversion and for peace, we wouldn't be where we are today, But the fact is, God has been pushed to the fringe, taken out of the public square. We've seen in our own lifetime the rapidity it was already happening when we were children, when I was a child. I'm older than all of you, but not that I look older, but in fact I think I probably look a little bit younger than most of you.
I'm just
joking there.
I don't mean
to be funny. I saw just a little while ago, I saw the picture of the old woman from Israel, and doesn't she look like my mother?
She does.
Yeah.
I was surprised when I saw that. I said, okay, what's going on?
She looks just like my mother.
She does.
And it's so sad. I mean, they've got this woman in the wheelchair. She was taken hostage. Then they took the picture of her, making the peace sign. Very docile, very peaceful. I mean, I just wonder what's going to her mind. It's like a child. And And then they put her, they advertised her with at this pizza joint, you know, advertising pizza. Mm-hmm. Well, the Israelis went and they bombed the pizza joint, so she was probably there as a hostage. They said a number of hostages have already died. But it's just the inhumanity, man's inhumanity to man, you know, that an atrocity that was done to the Israelites, to the Israelis. But then what about the innocent Palestinians? Mm-hmm. You know, what's going to happen there? You know, it's going to be total annihilation, extermination. And so it's a no-win situation. Unless, you know, people can, I mean, we're dealing with the diabolic, no doubt, the terrorist who hate. I can't repeat the things that, you know, you people have seen what's been done to children, what's been done to families, what's, they're even talking about, you know, that some of these hostages have been buried alive. I mean, I can't even. That this is.
It's pure evil.
This is like Armageddon. This is so tragic, and it's going to escalate. It's going to because this international jihad day. There's already reports of stabbings. There was a teacher, 40-year-old teacher in France, who was she wasn't Jewish. She was Dominique, so her the Catholic name, you know, but. She was stabbed to death, you know. I saw the footage of that in various parts of the. But this TikTok is. They're fueling the fire. Mm-hmm. They're putting fuel in the fire, and it really is. We got to pray, and that we will pray. Let us do that, and we'll talk a little bit about. We can go back to Fatima and to the miracle of the sun and. Just, you know, pray God, you know, help us to come to our senses. But again, you know, the Lord, Jesus said, when he comes, will there be faith or rather hearts that are gone cold, that have gone cold? I'm even as I'm talking, let me just say this. The Miss Universe pageant now has transgender women in the Miss Universe. What has happened to us as a people?
You know, Father, as you're talking here, I'm trying to be silent because I just got a lot on my mind. But it seems that today, what we would think is incredible or not real is real. It's upside down. Mm-hmm. The things you would think would never happen are happening. And I don't know. I feel bad that I'm not surprised anymore.
You know, you just take something like that. Okay, so these transgender, these are men who are dressed as women, are going to participate in the Miss Universe pageant,
mm-hmm.
And then you take the men who supposedly transition into women or claim to be women and playing in women's sports, and the fact that we allow this to happen, what happened to the so-called feminist movement?
Mm-hmm.
Where are the women? Where are the feminists? Where are they? Where are they? And you know, if anything, let these people have their own little pageant
themselves.
Yeah, they don't want to play
their own sport.
It's
purposeful to destroy.
It is.
Everything Our Lady said. You know, not only at Fatima, but in Quito, in Ecuador, in Akita, in Japan, in La Salette. It's all right in our face. We're in real time, reality in real time. You know, the destruction of the family, the destruction of marriage, bishop against bishop, the demoralization, the scandalous the scandal that characterizes the priesthood, consecrated life. I mean, all this stuff, and the annihilation of nations. If we don't return to God. There will be the annihilation of nations. And again, if I'm repeating what we talked about the other day, I don't know that, but that certainly in 1917 when she said that, when she said Russia will spread her errors throughout the world, that the children didn't even know. They thought Russia was a woman. They didn't know what that meant. And that was during the Bolshevik Revolution and World War I, and she said the war will end, but if people don't convert, if they don't return to God, there'll be a greater war. And if they don't convert, if they don't return to God, pray the rosary for conversion, for peace, then there will be the annihilation of nations. And of course, Russia under systemic atheism, communism, the Soviet Union indeed spread her errors or its errors throughout the world, and that's very, very much alive today throughout the world in our own country. We have politicians who are vocally, publicly, seem to state that they want the downfall of this nation.
Yep.
Everybody's looking at the United States, and they see what's happening in this country. I say, you know, when I go to prayer, I ask, you know, I try to see through the eyes of Jesus. What do you see when you look into this nation or look into the world? What do you see? And what you see is not good. What he sees is not good. I told the children this morning at Mass, you know, because I used a gospel from yesterday, for the children's Mass, where I should have brought it down, but when Jesus said, "Ask and you shall receive, knock and the door will be opened, seek and you will find." Because what good father would give a son a scorpion if he asked for an egg, right? And he says, "But and you who are wicked, you know, you know to do this good to your children, how much more your heavenly Father will give to those who ask for the Holy Spirit." And that's the key, because, you know, we ask, but we don't receive many, many things. This is kind of, I could ask for somebody to win the lottery and, you know, win that $10 million or whatever and give $2 million to our parish and school so that we can, we don't have to worry about the finances. You know, we can maintain the parish and school. But I'm, you know, that I can pray about that, but is that going to happen? No, you know, things don't come easy. Speaking about that too, and I'm going to be all over the place, but it just bothers me to no end that as we try to maintain and sustain our school and our parish, you know, we as a society, we basically a certain form of idolatry. You know, those in the sports arena, those in Hollywood, the singers, people in media, they're getting millions of dollars. And we'll pay to see, to be entertained. Or how do politicians come from humble beginnings and then all of a sudden, after they leave the presidency or they leave their, they're able to have, you know, multiple million-dollar homes in various parts of the world, in Martha's Vineyard, in Hawaii. What about the BLM members, you know, that whole BLM stuff? You know, those who were the head of BLM, you know, all this money was given. Corporations were giving money. Religious organizations were flooding money, just pouring money into BLM back during the rioting and all that. And what did they do with the money? Where's the money? Well, these leaders of BLM, they've got their multi-million dollar homes in Hawaii and other parts of the world, and interestingly, in white neighborhoods, mm-hmm. You know?
Why not?
And the rest of the people are down over here in the, it's just, struggling.
Hey, interesting you say, because I always say, right, that I want to speak of the church. The church calls us adults. Like right now, this is my impression, mm-hmm. my opinion. But this goes back, you know, from the time I entered into the seminary, when you had these radical people who wanted to completely change a church, and a very, very soft-spoken and all that, beautiful language, but speaking that we're adults, speaking to us, but talking down to us as children. And how many of our churches, I've heard this over the years, how often do you go to Mass and the homily or people, or you go to a, I remember when they had the new catechism came out, and the archdiocese had this kind of instruction on the new catechism. We went, and so you're expecting something really profound and deep, and it's what we're doing, collages, and we're doing drawings and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, you know, are we two-year-olds? Are we three-year-olds? Are we? This is, we're talking about the doctrine, the dogma, the deposit of faith, the catechism of the Catholic Church, and we're a priest and religious being talked in a dumbed down way by other priests and religious. My frustration is just, it's beyond, you know, I was told I was an angry, confused priest, and I am angry. It's a justified anger. And I mean, read the Gospels, read Scripture, and you tell me that there's not anger.
It's the laity, too. I mean, the laity, we feel the same way.
I hear it. And so, you know, that's why I want to be a voice to the people who don't have a voice. So I said the church will talk down to us as though we're little children in order to further their agenda, whatever that may be. I mean, you've got those who are certainly defending the faith, but they're ostracized. They're pushed to the fringe. Now, I say Jesus taught, he called us children, didn't he? But he spoke to us as adults. And you read Scripture, you read the Gospels, you read the letters. But this is just stay with the Gospels. You know, that Jesus is speaking to us. Yes, he calls us children, but he's speaking to us as adults. And he doesn't mince his words in any way whatsoever, calling us to a high standard, to conversion of life, to a metanoia, to be purged, to be transformed, to be sanctified, so that we can be his disciples, so that we can be leaven, we can be salt, we can be light, we can be truth in the midst of falsehood, right? The last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, just is so powerful. I should have brought my Bible down here, but I should keep it with me all the time, right? You know, one time, speaking of Israel, I have to tell you real quick, I had taken a group of Spanish. Remember this, Kristen?
I remember.
I took a group of Mexicans, Hispanic, not only Mexicans, but Latinos, to the Holy Land. And this was during the time that they had a lot of the suicide bombers. This is before they had the wall put around Bethlehem, which was really shocking when I went back the next time and saw the wall around Bethlehem. And they had to do something because these suicide bombers were coming into Jerusalem and they would just be on a bus and the whole bus would the bomb would go off and... You know, but my Hispanic group left early. It was a Sunday, and so they left early on a flight early in the day, and then I caught a flight out late at night, Israeli airline, and I was really, really tired. I had all the masses all through the day, and I was really tired. I wasn't wearing the collar, but I was wearing a black turtleneck, and I was wearing all black, but I had a black turtleneck sweater. And anyway, so I was really tired. So I sat away from the people. I just wanted to be alone, kind of in a meditative, because we had to wait quite some time. The reason why is because there had been bombings. There had been suicide bombings that day in Tel Aviv, as well as in Jerusalem, and in Haifa. I think it was in Haifa. And so I'm sitting off to the side, and so this two people came up to me. Authorities, and they interrogated me. They wanted to know who I was.
Are you a bomber?
No, they, I mean, they were, you know, it was...
You look suspicious to them.
Right. Obviously, and I had to show all my identification and all that. They took my suitcase, the suitcase that I was taking on the plane, they took it away from me, and they brought it back, and then a little while later, a couple of people came back. And again, they interrogated me, and they asked, and I told them, I said, you know, they asked me why I'm traveling alone. I said, well, my group left. I'm leading a group of pilgrims, and they left earlier, and I had masses all day. And they actually asked me, you know, they went away, came back, and they said, can you tell us what readings you read at the mass?
Wow, that's smart.
And then they asked me, you know, why don't you have a Bible? Because I didn't have a Bible in my suitcase. Because I don't use the missile, and I didn't bring it on the plane. That was in the other suitcase. And so they asked me what readings, why didn't I have a Bible, all this kind of stuff. And then once we got on the plane, I was taken off the plane
again,
and they again interrogated me, different people, and then they put me not in my seat, but they put me in the very back of the plane. In the very back where you couldn't even move the chair because it was up against a wall, and I had to fly all the way to Israel like that. And so anyway, why did I bring that up?
Because you said you should have carried your Bible at all times.
Well, yeah, that's what it made me think about that. But going back to the Bible, I was going to make mention of something in the Bible. Help me to bring me back. Where was I? That's your job to do
The Bible.
I don't know where you're
the Bible.
You never know where I'm going. Anyway.
You wanted to bring up a Bible sacred, what is a passage, but I don't know which one.
Anyway, whatever. It'll come, we'll take a break and then it'll come back.
It'll
and we'll
come back
and we need to pray today for peace. All right, everybody, don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change. The name is 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
The Winds of Change. Sometimes it's tough to hear winds of change over the air, what with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air, live, Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststanschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button. For Winds of Change podcasts, click on Listen to Episodes.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I'm all over the place.
It's Friday, it
just,
Father.
It's Friday. I'm very frustrated at what's going on all around the world, and we can't be naive and put our head in the sands. This is a very serious problem that is confronting us at multiple levels of life. It does feel really apocalyptic. What does that mean? You know, it's the scripture says there's going to be this cosmic upheaval. Our Lady, going back to the message of Our Lady at Fatima, that if we don't return to God, if we don't set things right with God, then there will be the annihilation of nations. And again, before the break, I spoke about all the many things that she said, you know, about the division within the family, the breakdown of marriage, the final attack, an attack on marriage and family. And my gosh, if we don't see this, you know, I talk to parents whose kids, whose children, you know, even if they're going, because there's a lot of kids that are very sick out there and are they going to counseling or, you know, probably within the past year, I'd learned that they didn't have room for children in psychiatric wards of the hospitals because there was so much sickness. You know, this is who's bringing the sickness upon these kids. It's the culture we're living in. But now the cell phone, most definitely, and TikTok. You know, I keep telling the kids get off TikTok because
you can't.
They're addicted to
it. I've tried it.
TikTok.
You can't do that. They just...
Are you on TikTok?
No, I'm not on TikTok.
No, he's not on social media.
But,
no.
You know, I've talked to people. It's like, okay, stop. Stop this right now. Stop touching your phone.
Well,
it doesn't happen.
Pictures of like a teacher who took the thing away from a student, and the student beat the teacher up, knocked her unconscious.
Yes.
This is not, and that's not an isolated incident.
Wow.
But and all that's coming out of China. China won't allow that for
it's
their own children.
In their country, yeah.
The TikTok, what their children see is more educational, you know, but in this country, it's all smut. Mm-hmm. It's all, you know, and this is the scourge of the society today is coming via the telephone, the internet, and all this kind of stuff.
It's
and
the
it
most
is
innocent.
Extremely addictive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like, you need a phone. Now everything is on your phone. So it's like, how do you, we as adults are a little bit better at it, but you figure you give a kid with the intention of, okay, I want to know where you're at all times. I just want to see that you're, and then
Well, the problem is once it morphs into this, and there's so much talk about it that we're going to be in a cashless society, then you're going to have to depend
exactly.
on your gadgets, and you have no privacy whatsoever. So if you go in, all this sounds so conspiratorial, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. But it's all been, they're speaking about all this.
But see, I guess older people, and I consider myself that too, I don't like this. I spent a long time without having a phone.
And when you think that back then, like Father, we've talked about this before, that we should just go back to the basics. We didn't have this growing up.
No.
We didn't. Our parents, they were aware of where we were. Parents would take turns taking the kids. Okay, we're going to go to movies. We're going to go to the park. We didn't have this.
No.
And we're here.
So
we survived.
We've survived, have we? I wonder. I was telling the children this morning when they came to Mass, you know, because there was a little bit of noise, I could hear it, and I left the sacristy and I said, you know, students, you know that you're to be silent. You're in God's house. You're already beginning your prayer, your preparation for Holy Mass. And it wasn't exaggerated, but there was a group, you know. And then at the end of the Mass, I told him again, you know, I keep insisting on silence. We live in a tyranny of noise. And if you want to know God, you've got to create the space. You've got to be silent. Meditate, reflect, contemplate. Just be still and know that God is God. And so at the end of the Mass, you know, you leave, you're leaving in silence. You continue your prayer of thanksgiving, all the way to the classroom. And our kids are good. I've mentioned this often. They do really, really well. I think this is something that I think we can boast about because it is we've effectively brought them into that silence and now with the adoration and all that, I think it's very, very it's really important. Anyway, you know, let's pray and again we'll pray a decade of the Rosary, a decade of the Chaplet for peace that God. Manifest himself in the midst of these atrocities that are so prevalent right now in our day, in our time, one way or the other, whatever it's going to take to bring us to our senses. So it's not just the crisis in Israel. It's not just the fact that they're calling for, that the Hamas is calling for international jihad today. But it's also, you know, that our church come to its reassert its identity as a mystical body of Christ, where Christ Jesus is the head and has laid out the blueprint, and it's a non-negotiable. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And if we and we're to be the sacrament in the world mediating God's grace, not accommodating, not appeasing the world, but to stand as a thorn in the side, as a conscience of the people. The very thing that brought Jesus to crucifixion must bring us as well in defense of Jesus rather than deny him, to defend Christ Jesus, God who came to us in the flesh and who laid out a very clear teaching, obedience to the commandments, Lord, save us from ourselves. Yes, his greatest attribute is mercy. But, and I'll repeat it, you keep hearing me say this, he did say, and he didn't mince words, if you belong to me, the world will not accept you as its own. You will be hated on account of me. You're going to have trouble in this world, but be courageous, be at peace, I've conquered the world. Now, I was talking to somebody this morning, they mentioned, well, you know, but even these people that are in these battles, it's they're all God-fearing people, or God-centered people. Well, it depends on what God you're talking about, you know. So we're talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has revealed himself in Jesus Christ, the incarnate God. There is no other God, and God Jesus is the fulfillment of all prophecy. He purifies the law, but don't get it out of your head. If anybody, any priest, or anybody who says that God, because he's so loving, will not chastise. Get that out of your head. God will chastise because he is merciful and he is just. in order to bring us to our senses. If we've gone crazy and we're leading ourselves down a road to perdition and leading others with us, God, for love of us, is going to bring us to our knees in order to awaken us. I mean, this has been the reality throughout history. And so this the hippie Jesus, the Jesus of, Jesus Christ Superstar, or what's the other one?
Godspell.
You know, that's right now, it just seems like that's what's being projected, from the elites of the church. And let's just, that's why we pray. Well, we're going to pray now that they, stand in defense. Be astute to what's going on in the world. Be astute. We're not going to accommodate. We're not going to appease. Yeah, Whoopi Goldberg. It goes away, and what a wonderful experience of the Pope, and I thank the Pope for allowing for this inclusivity and all this kind of stuff. Well, we want everybody, but, the impression is I can do what the heck I want to do. It's okay because God is love, and you think people are going to come running to Mass, come running to the church? No. We lose all relevancy. We lose all relevancy, and that's exactly what the devil wants. Exactly what the devil wants. No, we're called to a high standard. We're all called to loving sacrifice. We're all called to adhere to the commandments of God. We're all sinners. We all fall. We pick ourselves up, but we don't. But again, the big word, right, is pride. During the Pride Month, that's all you ever hear. And now it's, just morphed into all this, the multiplicity of reasons by which we should be proud, and everybody should applaud and celebrate our proclivities and our perversions and all this, our disorder. Don't call it disorder. Don't call it disorder, because then you're offending me, and you have no place in the public square. So pride. But what makes saints? Humility. The antithesis of pride is humility. That I think beyond myself, and I think, what are the ramifications? Now, again, as I say that, I'm thinking of our children, and I'm thinking of parents who come to me speaking about how they're trying to deal with their children who are deeply affected by what's happening in the culture and are so confused with social media, which is supposed to bring everybody together and bring us into this one, this great family, and everybody's connected, and people are more isolated, more lonely than ever before. And again, I'm speaking as a priest who listens, because that's part of the synod on synodality. Listen, okay? I'm listening. I listen every day. And so I'm communicating to you what I hear, and that's the reality. And these are people who are shut down if they speak to their truth. They're shut down. They're pushed to the fringe. The activists, they're the ones who shout us into silence. But again, why did Our Lady ask for the doors to be open to this church? That the cacophony of the world, the rude noise of the world, not shout into silence the voice of the living God. He will not be silenced, nor silent. God is very much aware of what's happening, what's unfolding in the world, and he will have the last word. And at the name of Jesus, all knees will bend in the heavens, on the earth, and under the earth, as Scripture says. So let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners,
now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those who are in most need of thy mercy. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. And we pray for the Synod on Synodality. Lord Jesus Christ, our God and Savior, you are the head of the Church, your spotless bride and mystical body. Look mercifully upon the profound distress to which our Holy Mother Church has been subjected, doctrinal confusion, moral abominations, liturgical abuses, have in our day reached an unprecedented height. The heathens have come into your inheritance, having defiled your holy temple and laid Jerusalem in ruins. Quoting Psalm 79, verse 1. Churchmen who have lost the true faith have become promoters of a worldly globalist agenda, are intent on changing your truths and commandments, the divine constitution of the Church, and the apostolic tradition. O Lord, with humble spirit and contrite heart, we beseech you, prevent the enemies of the Church from exulting in a victory over the authentic Catholic Church obtained by imposing a counterfeit church under the guise of synodality. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come to the aid of your Church with your almighty strength. For where sin and apostasy in the Church abounds, the victory of your grace will abound the more. We firmly believe that the gates of hell will not prevail against your Church in this hour in which our beloved and Holy Mother Church is suffering her Golgotha. We promise to remain with her. Graciously accept our interior and exterior sufferings, which we humbly offer in union with the Immaculate Heart of Mary, Mother of the Church, as a reparation for our own sins and for the sins of sacrilege and apostasy within the Church. O Lord, send forth your holy angels under the command of St. Michael the Archangel to bring your heavenly light to the Pope and Synod participants, and to frustrate the plans of your enemies within the Synod assembly. O Lord, look mercifully upon the little ones in the Church. Look upon the hidden souls who sacrifice themselves for the Church. Look upon all the tears, the sighs, and supplications of the true children of the Holy Church. And through the merits of the Immaculate Heart of your Most Holy Mother, arise, O Lord, and by your intervention grant your Church holy shepherds who, imitating your example, will give their lives for you and your sheep. O Lord, we beseech you, through the Blessed Virgin Mary, grant us a holy Pope, zealous in promoting and defending the Catholic faith. We implore you, grant it. Through the Blessed Virgin Mary, grant us holy and intrepid bishops. We implore you, grant it. Through the Blessed Virgin Mary, grant us holy priests who are men of God. We implore you, grant it. In you, O Lord, we rest our hope. Let us never be put to shame. To you, O Lord Jesus Christ, be given all honor and glory in your holy Church. You live and reign with the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin,
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Michael the Archangel,
pray for us.
All angels and saints in heaven,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Before we take a break, I just want to point out again, this prayer would be very controversial in the eyes of many, you know, because but it speaks to the biblical truth. And, when we, you know, it was in a discussion this morning, and somebody kind of accused me of saying, you know, thinking the Catholic Church is, you know, better that we're, you know, it's got to be the Catholic Church, you know. Well, it's the mystical body of Christ. Catholic means universal. Jesus founded a church on the rock of Peter, and that church is the sacrament in the world to mediate the grace, God's grace. We are his emissaries. We are his disciples. And we don't preach jihad. We don't, we look down through history. There are those who deviate from the truth. There are the Judas Iscariots. Again, I think I mentioned the other day, we don't fixate on Judas Iscariot or those who perverted or distorted the Church's identity and mission. No, we look to the saints who God raises up in every generation to confound the wise of this world. The Church is mystical, the mystical body. Again, the bigger church, always keep this in mind, everybody, because the Church isn't, we're not a social club, we're not a government organization or an NGO, we're the mystical body of Christ with a mission. You know, God, you know, through history has prepared for this Church, Judeo-Christian. We begin with Jesus, we read back into Judaism, back into the Old Testament to understand, you know, how God has been. As Our Lady said in the Magnificat, in her Magnificat, when she praises God after having uttered her fiat to allow herself to be, to conceive God by the power of the Spirit, that God would be formed in his humanity in the sacred womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. What do we pray? You know, blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus, right? But when she went to Elizabeth, and there was that greeting, who am I? And by the way, there were no cell phones then, so Elizabeth didn't know that Mary was coming, right? Didn't know what had happened to Mary, the Blessed Virgin. She was in Nazareth. She went to Ein Kerem, right outside of Jerusalem, to visit her cousin, who was in her old age, had conceived a child, John the Baptist, and she had been barren, Elizabeth. And Mary went to her to be with her for 3 months until the baby was born. And in the greeting, Elizabeth said, "Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For the moment your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy in my womb," referring to John the Baptist. And then she said, "Blessed is she who trusted that the Lord's words to her would be fulfilled." And then Mary broke off, the Blessed Mother broke off into this beautiful, the Magnificat. And in that prayer, she speaks about the very things we're speaking about, how God brings the mighty down from their thrones and raises up the lowly. Because again, you know, through the whole of history, that's how God works. I mean, who are the apostles? They weren't the Pharisees and the scribes, the educated. These were illiterate men, uneducated. They were working men, fishermen. You know, and it's they were talking about to confound the wise of this world, but in the prayer, the Magnificat, the Blessed Mother, she says, she praises God, thanks God, "I thank you for having been faithful to the promise you made to our father Abraham." So she's really reaching back into history in solidarity with her people, and she says, "All generations to come will call me blessed," as she looks down through history. And you just think in the course of the day, how often every time we pray the Hail Mary, you know, we're fulfilling that prophecy. But she's there in the moment, in the present, humbly disposed, receptive to the inner working of God's Spirit, the very inner working of God in her life, bearing God to the world, and will be with him all the way to the foot of the cross. We say the cross is the altar upon which Jesus was crucified. Well, she's an extension of that altar, right? Because upon her, his blood was spilled, his precious blood was spilled. But this idea of the Anawim, the little flock, in this time most especially, when we feel we have little or no voice, or that we be punished, that we be punished for speaking to truth, and that's what I was bringing back to this prayer, that anybody who would argue anything written in this prayer would deny sacred scripture, would deny the full counsel of God. And again, as I mentioned before, you know, "Peter, I pray for you," Jesus says, "I pray for you," because you have to strengthen your brothers, because you need to know that Satan means to sift you all like wheat. You know, we're in a spiritual battle, and there are those who impose a counterfeit church under the guise of synodality. Again, you know, how often are we being told, got to be open to the surprise of the Spirit, the surprise of the Spirit, the surprise of the Spirit. She keeps repeating it over and over, and everybody's on the narrative is there. Got to be open to the surprise of the Spirit. Well, because they know what the surprise is. Somebody knows what that surprise is. Nothing should surprise us. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. What we need are saints. We need holiness of life. We need humility. You know, stop being self-referential, navel-gazing. Let's just look at ourselves, everybody in their little circle around the table. You know, this is so what I find so comical, but when I look into all these little circles, these two tables, everybody in the, I've been there. I've seen that. Not there in Nevada, but that stuff has been going. And y'all talk, it's just, you know,
we need patriarchy in a good sense, not machismo, but patriarchy, men standing side by side, looking to the horizon, seeing what's coming in order to prepare, to provide, and to protect, you know, protect from the evil one. That's what's needed, not to sit and sitting in circles. You know, women do that, and I don't mean that in a negative sense, but women are nurturers, and they sit they'll sit in circles, and they nurture life. Men are warriors. Our shield is the faith, and our sword is the Spirit of God. But we need men. we need fathers. Fathers, we need fathers. Right. That's the crisis in the city of Chicago. The absence of fathers. That's why the city of Chicago is overrun with violence, because the fathers are gone. And yet these guys claiming to be women now are applauding the fact that they're able to be in the Miss Universe pageant. figure that, you know, just common sense. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll take a break and we'll come back and wrap up. Thanks for being. Don't go away. We're coming back. I'm Father Anthony Owens of Change, AM 750 WNDC.
St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststanschurch.org.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us on this October 13th.
Friday the 13th. The
miracle of Friday the 13th, but it was a miracle of the sun that happened after, you know, the people. When you think about it, the kids were really fascinated with the story this morning, you know, but at the Mass, that Our Lady appeared to the children in Fatima and told them, you know, we must pray. Tell the people, pray the rosary. You know, even before that, the angel appeared to them, right, and prepared them for the apparitions, but brought them to humbly reverence God and taught them about the centrality of the Holy Eucharist in life, in preparation for the apparitions of Our Lady. And she appeared to them and told them, you know, to tell the world that we must pray the rosary daily for conversion and for peace. And if we don't return to God, I won't repeat all the atrocities that will befall humanity. Because we come from God, we got a God, we go to God. God is a God of order in a disordered world. And so he's not a permissive God, he's a demanding God.
But the people were enthralled with these apparitions, with the messages. Many were attacking the children, interrogating the children, putting fear into the children that they would be put to death, that this was all a concoction, that this was a lie. And but anyway, more and more people kept coming to the place of the apparition in Fatima in Portugal. And the people wanted proof of these apparitions. And Our Lady told the children that on October 13th, she would send a sign, and they will know. And 70,000, this is all reported. It's in the newspapers. It was in the New York Times. 70,000 people went on the 13th, and it was just a deluge, just a rain. Everybody was soaked. It was mud. They had to get it was in this, out in the farmland or where they shepherd the sheep, and everybody's covered in mud and wet, soaked, and 70,000 religious people, the secularists, the atheists, all came, and then they began to mock the children because nothing was happening. But then at the noon hour, I believe it was, under this deluge, this rain, all of a sudden the sky is open and the sun appears brilliant and emanating all these different colors and spinning, you know, just spinning. And it's obviously everybody, you know, the miracle, the miracle. And there's filmage you can see it on film. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden the sun appeared as it was spinning to fall to the earth, and people were in horror, and they thought it was the end of the world. Mm-hmm. They thought they were all going to die, and it plunged to the earth, and then it returned into the sky, into the heavens, and everything became perfectly dry.
Were people that were healed.
And people were healed.
Yeah.
People were healed. Yeah. Royalty went there.
Yeah.
All kinds of people, the poor, the young, all kinds of people. And there were healings. And it just, when you think about that, you know, that phenomenon, and yet the question is, why did we not heed the call? You know, but, you know, as Scripture said, the other day in one of the parables, it doesn't matter whether in the morning or in the afternoon or late at night, you know, now is the time to begin. If you haven't done anything up to this point in time, you know, God, as he says, I'm always faithful. You may be unfaithful, but I'm faithful. I'm waiting for you, always waiting. And this is the hour. The day is far spent. What did I say? The day is... the day is far spent, the night draws near. We must get on our knees in the name of Jesus. And as we prayed in the chaplet, for the sake of his sorrowful, to the Father, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, the blood, the soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world, for the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Doesn't that seem so appropriate for this day and this time? And Our Lady, that's all she's asking. Return to God. Return to God on your knees. Thanks, everybody, for being with us as we continue to pray for peace. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
No time to hide the winds.
become so obscure, it does not take that long.